a prayer. God of deep places and distant shores, we come to you today not with tidy prayers, but with the scattered pieces of ourselves. Some of us arrive full of doubt. Some of us arrive exhausted by the news, weary of war and helplessness, not sure what to say anymore. Some of us are holding grief we can't name, and others have silenced parts of ourselves just to get through the week. But still, here we are, gathered, like fragments pulled toward healing, listening like the man in the tombs for a voice strong enough to quiet the noise inside. So speak to us, Jesus. Speak with kindness, speak with authority, name the lies we've believed and name us beloved in their place. Let this time be a thin place between what is broken and what is being remade, between the ache of the world and the hope that still flickers beneath it all. We pray this in your name, the one who crosses every sea to find us. Amen.
Our Bible readings are Psalms 42 and 43, and the New Testament reading, Luke chapter 8, reading verses 26 to 39, which are read by Mrs. Hinton.
The reading is from Luke 8, 26 to 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herds rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
A reflection. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" the man asked, naked among the tombs. And don't we all ask that question in some way? What do you have to do with me, Jesus, when my life is full of ghosts I don't know how to name? When my hope is as brittle as glass in my throat? When the news from Gaza feels like it's burning a hole in my spirit? And even as I pray for peace, I wonder, do I really want it if it costs me my illusions? The Gerasene man is us. Not just one man, but a metaphor for a people. Fragmented, tormented, possessed by a legion of voices that shout louder than truth. He lived among tombs, and we too sometimes set up home among the dead things. Grievances we water daily, hatreds justified by the nightly news, and that odd comfort in despair that lets us avoid the pain of hope. My tears have been my food day and night, says Psalm 42. In the occupied territories where drones hum and children don't sleep through the night, isn't that prayer still being prayed? And from Rafah, from Sderot, from the ruins of towers and the hearts of grieving mothers, tears are still food, grief is still daily bread. But here is what unsettles me, what haunts. Jesus doesn't flinch. He doesn't turn away. He crosses stormy seas for the sake of one tormented soul. He enters the land of the unclean, the enemy, the occupied, the disturbed. And maybe that's the beginning of healing. Someone crossing the sea toward your pain instead of away from it. The demons have names. Jesus asks for it, legion. A word for military occupation. A word for how many voices we've let take over. Racism, cynicism, consumerism, exceptionalism, the inability to see the image of God in someone whose map looks different than ours. These are our demons. And perhaps they don't froth at the mouth. They wear suits. They craft policies. They set algorithms. They whisper in boardrooms and on social media. And they tell us the lie that some lives matter more. But Jesus sends them away. He doesn't negotiate with them. He doesn't let them stay. Healing starts when the lie loses its voice. The man is clothed and in his right mind, and the townspeople, well, they're terrified because healing threatens the order we've grown used to. And yet still today, many would rather keep the world demon-possessed as long as it stays predictable. But the gospel will not allow it, because the kingdom of God is always a disruption. So maybe this week we dare to name some demons in our hearts, in our systems, in our history. We stop trying to manage them and ask Jesus to do what he always does, cross the sea, enter the tombs and speak peace where the noise was. And then maybe like the psalmist, we'll pray not just with tears, but with hope. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Amen.
Our second hymn, We Cannot Measure How You Heal, is again from Singing the Faith, hymn 655.